And welcome back to Push to Talk with Magneto Mel. You are listening to 1210 AM, 93.1 FM, or www.airventure.org. And I am sitting here now with Craig Fuller, who is the president and CEO of AOPA. How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning. So AOPA and EAA, obviously, we've got a couple of organizations going on here. It's great that they all work together as much as we can.
Well, we're certainly enjoying it. And, you know, Tom Poperesny and I have a little press conference later today, really to commemorate something that started months ago. Tom was the first person to sort of hold out his hand and say, let's find ways to work together. And I went up to Oshkosh and came back with my team several weeks later, and we're doing a number of things together. It feels good. It feels right. Our members seem to enjoy it, and that's the way it should be. We've got plenty of challenges, but working together, we're going to be a lot stronger.
Great. And what kind of things do you have sort of coordinated so far? What's AOPA's presence here at AirVenture right now?
Well, we could not be more pleased with the space we have, the location we have. We have a big tent. We've got a caravan that brought some of our people out here on display. We've got a P-51 Mustang on display. It gives us a chance to meet with our members. We've actually signed up some new members while we're here, which is always nice. We educate people about some of our programs and activities. I talk a lot about General Aviation Serves America, which is our campaign that we're raising money for and taking our message about the importance of general aviation across the country. And that's something I'm working on with Tom. We're going to talk a little bit more about it today, but I'm really excited to have EAA chapters appearing at our events and helping us with our events. So that collaboration has really already begun.
Fantastic. Well, and for listeners who, you know, this organization, there's EAA, there's AOPA, and other aviation affiliations, and you hear all these buzzwords and these acronyms. What are some of the differences in what the two organizations do? I mean, we have these fly-ins here, obviously. That's what people know EAA for.
Well, the EAA and AOPA are the two big pilot membership organizations. Well, my sense is I want pilots to be a member of one of the other or both, learning all the time, to be focused on safety, to have the chance to interact with other pilots. I think both organizations provide that opportunity. AOPA, being based in the Washington, D.C. area, concentrates a lot on advocacy, but we stand side by side, very able advocates from EAA on all of the issues. You know, the fact is we don't really differ on the policy directions we're going, but we're looking for more and more ways to work together in those areas. I get asked, all the time what some of the biggest issues are, and one of them is attracting people to flying. And I don't think anyone does a better job than EAA with the Young Eagles program. And so we want to find ways to be supportive of local chapters every way we can to help them bring more people into aviation.
Now, and EAA is obviously the name, Experimental Aviation Association, and then we have AOPA, which is the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Right. And I think sometimes people get the notion that one is more for manufactured aircraft and one is more for those crazy people who build their own rickety buckets in some people's mind and then go flying. And it's really not that separatist.
Well, the nice thing about being here at AirVenture at Oshkosh, and we were standing, before we started, we were standing outside watching the aircraft taxiing out. Everybody's together. I mean, these are wonderful aircraft, whether they're home built or built by our fine manufacturers. Whether they're frankly U.S. aircraft or many of these light sport aircraft from Europe are coming here, which I think that's a very exciting area. Again, bringing people to aviation that might not otherwise be able to participate. I always say in Washington, if you attack one segment of general aviation, you attack all of general aviation. I don't want people going after the light sport aircraft business because I think it's a very fine group of people and really wonderful products, just like I don't want them going after people who fly jets. And we have our members flying the full range. And I always have to remember hot air balloons because we got hot air balloon people too.
And powered parachutes. And
exactly,
there's all kinds of stuff out there now that I can't even imagine if aviation 100 years ago when it started knew where it was going to end up.
We've invited, to our AOPA Aviation Summit in November, we've invited some of the radio-controlled pilots to come and give demonstrations because I met some of those folks. And young people who fly these radio-controlled airplanes are great aviators. They're not sitting in the plane, But they're doing things with those airplanes that all of us could learn a thing or two about. So I'm really trying to make sure that AOPA is the biggest tent possible for general aviation. And the best way to do that is, frankly, to work with EAA and the other organizations at the same time.
Right. Well, now, okay, we've talked a little bit about the advocacy efforts of the organizations and a little bit about the community involvement. And one thing, earlier this week, we were talking about some of the evolution of aviation, not just in the types of aircraft, but in the composites that people are getting into. And obviously, that's a big thing with home builds. Mm-hmm. But even with manufactured aircraft and otherwise, greening everything up is a huge thing right now. Where is AOPA, what is AOPA's involvement with that?
You know, I think that pilots are, by their nature, sensitive to the environment because we're flying in the air. We want to see clean air. We want to see ground below us. So we come at this from a standpoint of wanting to protect the environment that we're flying in and operating in. We're looking for every way possible to address some of the fuel concerns. I think training programs that are using aircraft that burn less fuel. So we're committed to it. We spend a lot of time working with groups and organizations that are looking for solutions to issues that exist. I actually think the aviation community has stepped up and done a great deal to reduce fuel burn in our jet aircraft, to make engines more fuel efficient, and we'll keep at it.
Now, AOPA, you also mentioned aircraft from other countries, right, and as well as domestic. So what about AOPA's presence beyond the U.S.?
Well, we're very pleased today. We have about 415,000 members. We have 50 or 60,000 members, I think, who receive the magazine overseas. So there we have members of AOPA who live overseas, who stay connected with us. We also have a wonderful network of organizations in other countries, now in 66 nations, that carry the AOPA mantle, if you will. They're the AOPA of Germany or the United Kingdom. Or next year, our international program is going to be in Jerusalem in Israel. And every 2 years, these representatives from all of these international AOPAs get together and talk about issues we're facing, which is very important, by the way, because issues that are coming at us from EASA, the European agency, somehow decisions they make on environmental questions or air traffic control questions can migrate here. So we're trying to be more attentive to what's happening in other parts of the world, and this international AOPA group helps us do that.
In terms of organization and community and advocacy, which we talked about before, does AOPA play a role in that overseas?
Well, we do. One of the sort of opportunities that came to me when I became the president of AOPA, I was soon elected the president of the international AOPA. So we are engaged, and you're right that we enjoy a tremendous freedom.
And you hold that position now.
I hold that position now. We enjoy a tremendous freedom in this country to fly. We of course, continue to work to make sure it's not restricted. And I'm very pleased as I meet the leaders of the other AOPA groups around the country, around the world, I should say, in other countries, at AOPA, at EAA, and the other groups, make sure that our policymakers understand how important this freedom is, how important mobility is in this country, and not pass laws, regulations, taxes, user fees that would have the effect of restricting that.
It's funny because who's coming up next, and we had in here yesterday, is our a German controller, and we were talking about user fees and implications and how they play out there and how they play out here.
The user fee is not that reliable a source of funding. Here in the United States, the FAA has had a constant, consistent flow of funds, both from passenger taxes and fuel taxes, as well as a general fund contribution. We want to make sure that consistency remains.
Well, thank you very much for being here with us today. Are you maintaining a presence on the field? Is there a booth people can come check out?
Please, if you're here on the field, look for the big yellow tent. That's where AOPA is located. We have some contests. We've got our sweepstakes plane there, a nice Cirrus SR-22. I'm there all day. A lot of our people are there to answer questions, and you pick up some goodies while you're there. And I'm going to try to spend some time today getting around and seeing the show. It's a wonderful place to be. I'm here all week.
Okay. And then off for listeners that aren't on the field, your website is...
Go to our website. We are sharing stories every day about what we're experiencing here at AOPA. And
that's AOPA.org?
It's AOPA.org.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mel. Good to be with you.
Craig Fuller, president of AOPA and AOPA International. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Magneto Mel on Push to Talk. You are listening to EAA Radio, 1210 AM, 93.1 FM, and around the world at www.airventure.org.